This is injury attorney David Femininio. A personal injury of any sort is in fact personal. I have dedicated my entire career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured in an accident. I also make sure that my clients get all of the medical care that they need to recover after an accident. You need an injury attorney who makes it personal. So if you or someone you know is injured, you need to tell them to call me at 855-65-CRASH or go to my website, getdavidgetpaid.com.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, TJ's here. He just called himself a total bitch. This is exciting. You were sick. You're a bad sick person?
Horrible.
You don't deal with it well?
No, horrible.
You just cry out.
Yeah, I'd rather tear my rotator cuff 10 times again before getting sick.
All right, well.
Yeah, I hate it. Oh, I'm a terrible
sick. Would you rather rewatch Lions Commanders?
No.
Okay, then.
No.
So you have not been on air. You were sick. Pretty bad Monday, Tuesday. You weren't able to deliver your thoughts. Obviously, you and I were texting, but like, where do we begin? I mean, you've had time to process it.
Yeah.
How the hell did we get here again?
I was about to say, TJ, when did you know? When did you know
that game was going sideways?
Yeah. Because I'm sure at halftime you're thinking, okay, it's a 10-point lead. I've seen this before. We had a horrible day against the Texans. We'll bounce back.
Yeah.
I was in full DEFCON 1. I'm
trying to remember if there was an exact moment. You got the feel just when the turnovers like wouldn't stop. You're like, my goodness, one of these games. And we remember, I mean, I think I said word for word last Friday with you guys, this team's good enough to play a C-plus game in the regular season and still win. You play a C-plus game in the playoffs, anybody can beat you. And that's what that game was last Saturday. You played offense, I know people are still like, yeah, you scored 31 points and 500 yards. I don't care. My expectation for that offense is so much higher than that defense with all the injuries that they face through. You can't have a turnover that goes for 6 points, first of all. And you can't have – you take the last interception out, I'm fine with that. But you can't have turnovers that take points off the board too. I mean, I really felt – Mike, I think we talked – that was a 20 – those turnovers were a 27-point swing. When you consider that Washington got 21 points, the touchdowns, plus you also, and two of them, took field goals off the boards. That's a 27-point swing. You're not beating anybody in the playoffs with giving up that much points. You're just not.
If you take away the last turnover, I'm still going to say it was 5 because maybe you forced them to either do a dumb play on 4th and 2 and you get a stop or they kick a field goal. Instead, you had 12 men on the field, and you gave them an automatic first down.
Yeah.
And I'm counting that as a turnover.
And a lot of uncharacteristic mistakes, too, right? Like, Ford Field was supposed to be the place where people come in, and they fall apart, and they melt down, and they have the mistakes. We had more false starts than they did. You had 12 men on the field. I mean, it was like Washington came in with no expectation and just, hey, let's go have fun, see what happens. And to me, the Lions, once it started getting a little closer than they thought it was going to be, started getting tight a little bit. And Jared Goff, he did not play a good game. He just didn't. You look at the pick six. The fumble, I mean, look, Graham Glasgow did get beat on that fumble. But Jared Goff, I hold in a high expectation where if it's 3rd and 1 and you've got a 3-step drop, Your offensive line is expecting that ball to come out right now. And I know on that play, it was a one-read play. Hey, we got Amon-Ra on Bobby Wagner, and he comes out and he's stumbling. That, in my mind, if you're Jared Goff, it's got to go off now. Okay, I got to get out of here because they've got five guys. I only got five in protection. The odds of me holding up for 3, 4, 5 seconds on a three-step drop are not great, right? I got to pull my ass down. Amon-Ra fell down. Play's gone. How can I salvage that, right? Get my ass down, try to scramble. Maybe you pick up the first down with your feet. Maybe that's unfair, but that's just the expectation that I hold for Jared Goff.
Right.
And then obviously the interception, the pick six, sorry. You know, it was a second and long. I think you were backed up from a false start on first down, I want to say. And you had Sam Laporta wide open underneath. I mean, it would have set you up for a third and five probably. Or Jameson Williams ran the exact same route on the other side of the field and was wide open. And it's just a terrible decision by him. You know, and I think it was once those things started to snowball, they just couldn't pick their way out of it. And it did, you know, they just picked a bad day to have a bad day. You know, that's the bottom line. And I still feel that this loss wasn't as devastating as last year's was. Like, because last year you're 30 minutes away from the Super Bowl with a 17-point lead. You know what I mean? So last year was like 1,000 times more devastating than this year. This year I feel like is just, what did I say? I feel like this year was just. This
I get
year
to
was
watch
just,
mommy and daddy fight feel, now because he disagrees with this.
Oh, I didn't listen. I'm sorry. Maybe you talked about
you
it.
You were
but,
sick. It's
okay. No, I said that I thought that this year's loss was more devastating than last year's loss because last year it wasn't expected. This year, after last year, you dedicated. It was almost like a Rocky montage where you trained and you did everything and you won 15 games and you were the best team in the league. You had home field all throughout. You had a rookie quarterback coming in here and you fell flat on your face. Where last year, yeah, you were 30 minutes away, but that wasn't expected. That was kind of like, man, it would be nice if we get it. A Super Bowl was expected in this city. Oh,
expected for who though? I think if you ask the players last year, you know, do you expect to go and beat San Fran? They tell you, hell yeah.
Look at every player expects to win every game.
Well, that's maybe that's how I look at it through the player's lens. But like 8 years in the playoffs when I played, and I hate to be that guy, but there's one loss that I ever had that was devastating that I still think about to this day. And it was 2014, went on the road, NFC Championship game, Seattle, had a 16-point lead.
I was about to say, was it the onside kick guy?
And we blew it, yeah. And we blew a 16-point lead in the second half. And that's the one game that haunts me because you are that close to getting to a Super Bowl. You are that close. No matter if you're meant to be there or not, you're that close. Oh, and all we have to pretty much do is not F it up ourselves, right? That was by far the most devastating loss I've ever had in my playoff career. And that was even the one seed, you know, the 1 year, Mike, we were 15-1. The Giants came in and beat our ass. But from a player's standpoint, it's a stark reminder of when we don't bring our A game in the playoffs, anybody can beat us. So that's why I say last year was more devastating because you're 30 minutes away. It didn't matter if people are like, hey, this is just bonus football. Nobody expect us to be. The players expect to be there. And when you really have a legit chance to get it done, and you look up the scoreboard like, hey, we – 17 points, 30 minutes left. Like, let's roll. And then when it starts slipping away, man, it's you can't help but to think about that.
If the Commanders are all of a sudden 15 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl and they end up losing, you didn't expect that at the beginning of the year. Now, I'm sure, yes, the players, you want to say we want to win the Super Bowl, but no one really thought if you talked
about you're that close, though.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter what you talked about all season or, hey, let's just win the division. Oh, man, we won a couple playoff games. Whoa. You don't think about that. You think about the moment and how close you are, right? So, I just...
There's no right or wrong answer. I just
we
think
were all pissed
year,
off. Yeah, no, I'm with you because the expectations were so high. And for so much of the season, you did look like the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, all
right?
Roads go through Detroit. Yeah.
Now, would I feel different if you had a 17-point lead against Washington and you just let it crumble? Or if there was a weird call in there or something that cost you that game? Like, hell yeah, it would feel different. That was a game to me that just, you didn't take care of your business.
See,
you just didn't. Washington did.
No, I think if like you would have one of those Cowboys, Dan Skipper calls, you would have had the refs to blame. And you got nobody to blame in this game.
You got yourself to blame, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got yourself to blame. And maybe we didn't expect it to turn into a dogfight, which it kind of was majority of that game until Washington just you couldn't get close enough there in the second half to really feel like you were getting back. Yeah, that was kind of
the
dagger. But earlier this week just felt like, man, it was a gut punch. Like, it really was. And we were all expecting Ben Johnson to leave, right? But I think we were expecting that in February, right? Yeah. And but here's another thing I would say, too. And I'm not blaming this. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely, this is not even a majority of the factor why they lost. I think it's ridiculous that, Mike, we talked about it, that coaches interview during the postseason for other jobs. You have bad teams that are trying to pick off the good coaches. Now, was that a major distraction? No. Was it a distraction, though? You can't help it to be a distraction. See, but, and especially, I know it happened during the bye week. Well, you're telling me that can't be in the back of your mind of, oh, man, like, this is the guy that's really brought my game to a new level. Like, I'm not saying it's a massive distraction by any means, but if you're thinking about it, if you're spending an hour thinking about it, is that distracting you from, and I know it happened during the bye week, but even a couple days before the game,
right?
It's Tom Brady, Oakland Raiders, or sorry, Vegas Raiders, right? Ben Johnson. Oh, this, does that take your mind off of things? Even if it's for a split second, Rico, you can say, yeah, I'm thinking about that. I wish I didn't have to think about that. Flip the seat. Let's say you're in the playoffs and there's talks about players. Hey, Jared Goff, there's a chance he might go join the Bears next year. You know what I mean? Not like, how is that? And I know coaches, obviously, but you know what I mean? Like, you can't help but to think about it. I think it's ridiculous that they just don't wait until everybody's season's over. And Bill Belichick said the same thing. He's like, man, like, every year we're making a postseason run, and you got all these bad teams that are trying to poach coaches from good teams. And, like, yeah, you can't help to think about it, right? I'm not saying that is the main factor.
Belichick got his revenge because all his coaches sucked.
So. And I'm not trying to blame that. I'm not trying to cop out by saying that. But players would be lying to you if they told you that it didn't cross my mind, or I didn't think about it, or I didn't say, hey, man, this coach has meant a lot to me throughout my career. Gosh, I really hope he doesn't go. You know what I mean? Like, I can't afford to lose him, man. He's made a difference in my professional career. You can't help but to think about that. And if it takes your mind off of things for an hour, if you're spending 2 hours thinking about that, can you argue that that's not somewhat of a distraction? No. Not saying a massive one, but, you know, you're thinking about all those things. And look, that's the nature of being a good team, right? The Lions back here next year. Doesn't matter who they hire as the coordinators. They go out and win 15 games again next year. They're a Super Bowl favorite. They're going to go through it again. Right. I just think this was the initial time of – and we did hear some of it last year, right? And Ben Johnson kind of turned those things down. I feel like it wasn't as solidified last year, where this year was like Ben Johnson's 100% going to be a head coach. Last year was like, oh, he's getting some interest, you know. This is the first time they had really had to deal with that, though. Like, we are losing our coordinators. It is like a guaranteed thing, right? These guys aren't coming back. They're taking bigger, better opportunities, which they should, which they've deserved. Right. But this is the first time they've gone through that. I think it'll help them in the future be able to handle that, because if you're going to be a sustainable, good team, powerhouse team, you're going to have to get used to things like that happening that are out of your control, unfortunately, but part of the game. So, and I wish the NFL did it different. I wish they just waited till after the Super Bowl, but before teams could start making all these major changes.
So let's do this. People, you haven't had a chance to talk to TJ this week. If you have something you would like to vent to TJ about or ask about, and we can put to bed the Commander game, just call 248-539-9797. I know Rico and I have two more questions for you. One is going to be, I do want to ask you about Dan Campbell, and then I do want to have this conversation about Ben Johnson not being here and the effect on Goff, because they had a very tight relationship. So we'll get to that momentarily. I want to keep it somewhat on the rails. I know we're over time. We'll be right back with that.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Are you ready for your next winter adventure? Whether it's a stylish all-wheel drive SUV to get the family where they need to go, or an innovative EV to make the switch to electric, ChevyDriveChicago.com has you covered With Equinox, Traverse, Silverado, Trax, and Trailblazer, you're sure to find the perfect Chevy to match your needs and lifestyle. But finding the right car is only part of the story. Winter weather is here, and your vehicle needs to be ready for anything. From oil changes and tire rotations to unexpected repairs, your local Chevy dealer is here to help. Their team of experts knows your vehicle, and they will make sure your car is safe, reliable, and ready to handle whatever the season brings. So why wait? Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today to find your local dealer, shop the latest vehicles, and schedule your service appointment. ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
TJ Lang joining us right now as we're talking about the Lions game. First time we got TJ back since he was sick.
Yeah, unfortunately still having to relive it. Yeah. You know what? Well, also, like, I was made aware of some of the Ben Johnson slander throughout the week. Look, first I would say we were lucky to get him back for another year, right? I mean, he had opportunities last year. He said, hey, you know, timing's not right, got to come back. I think it was just such a double whammy because I was starting to prepare myself that Vegas was going to make the most sense, right? When you started hearing the reports about Tom Brady and how he's personally recruiting him and
right.
Those two, when they talk about football, like they both kind of nerd out about, it looked like a match that was going to be made in heaven. So, but not only did you lose, you know, a divisional game, a game you were supposed to win by 8 points, you were favored, 9. But then the body's not even cold yet. And it's like, oh, and by the way, I'm going to Chicago. And it's like, oh my God. So it was just like, it was such a double whammy. And that was, and I'm not even going to say disappointing because I think Ben Johnson, like I said, he did the right thing. He said last year, I wasn't ready. You know what I mean? Like emotionally, I was still attached to this football team, wanted to come back, give it my all. He did that. So you can't blame a guy. I was surprised it was in a division, in the same division, because to me that was
really?
Kind of like, I was.
Come on.
I thought there was just a part like,
there's no
maybe
loyalty.
It was like, no, but I think maybe like an unspoken rule, like, hey, we're going to allow you to go interview with these teams and build your resume, but maybe like an unspoken rule, like just go do it in the AFC or like a team that we're not going to play every, you know, twice every year. But you can't blame him for taking a job, man. I mean, the offer that he got, and he even mentioned, you know, he built this thing up where he feels like, you know, the offense is ready just to kind of self-sustain itself, right? And doesn't matter who's calling the plays, right? And I think there's part of that's true. And now, Mike, I know you kind of hinted at it, where it seemed like he was the one guy that really got the best out of Jared Goff and the collaboration that they had and making Jared feel like he has a lot of ownership of what they do offensively. I think that was Ben's biggest strength. You get coaches sometimes that are just, you know, I don't care what you want to do. This is my offense. We're doing it this way, and you're going to run
it. My framework.
Right. You get a lot of coaches that do that. I think Ben's biggest strength was letting Jared have a lot of say in that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it would make sense to stay in-house. I don't know if that's
Is it Scotty?
Montgomery. I don't know if that's Tanner, you know, who's been the passing game coordinator. Obviously, has had a lot of success there. I don't know if, you know, Brunell, obviously quarterback coach. Him and Jared have had a really close relationship as well. It seems to me it would make sense to stay in-house when it comes to offensive coordinator because the system's already in place, right? If you go hire an outside coordinator, there's a good chance he wants to come in and kind of tinker with things and, hey, well, this is my offense. This is what I've been doing, right? So you're going to make people kind of change. If you hire somebody in-house, you already feel like this offense is sustainable, right? We've kind of built it. We've got the pillars. We've got the foundation of what this offense is. And you've also had these other coaches that have been in this system that have got to learn from Ben Johnson and watch the way he approaches the game and watch the creativity that he works with. So offensively, I think it would probably make sense to promote somebody within that has familiarity not only with Dan Campbell and his style, but with the players as well. You already understand the player's strengths, the weaknesses, how do I put them in positions to be successful. You get an outside guy, it's going to take a lot of time to start understanding each individual player and designing a system around that. They've already got a system that works. So I would be pretty surprised if it's not somebody that's already in the building that gets bumped up.
Do you think, I guess the question to me would be, from a coaching standpoint, do you think Dan learned something here? I didn't, look, this is just what Rico and I were talking about all week. I left Saturday and I said this to you. I didn't think they were ready to get hit in the face. I don't think they had a business-like mentality. I think it was a little too loose. They got punched in the face and they didn't have a counter and everybody was gripping. And I think it was highlighted by what Rico said, like that 12 men on the field. I mean, where it was like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? That can't happen.
Yeah.
Do you think there's something Dan will do differently next year? Not a total like business.
When it comes to like a playoff game? Because obviously it's hard to argue with what they did in the regular season.
Right, but preparing, the bye week, whatever it is that this team got too high.
That's a good question.
That's right.
I think watching that game, it kind of had a how can I put this?
Oh, I like this.
It kind of had a Dallas type approach to it, where we're just going to go out there and throw everything at you and mm-hmm. just prove we're the better team.
Want to embarrass
you. And when a lot of that stuff didn't work, it was like, oh man, we didn't expect it to go this way. That's what it looked like. I don't think it was like that in the building, but that's what it looked like to me. It looked to me like on the outside looking in, it looked like almost Ben Johnson, and this is pretty absurd to say this, but I was kind of putting things together with Tom Brady, and he's recruiting him, and so in my mind was like, oh, Ben's going to Vegas, you know, Tom's doing the game. It kind of had a feel like Ben's like, hey, watch this, Tom, watch all these plays I can design and show off to you, right? Like that's kind of what it looked like.
It could have been because I think to me it reminded me a lot of what Kevin O'Connell and Minnesota. You got them to not be themselves in that game in Week 18. A lot, you know, talk about Ryan Day and Ohio State when they played Michigan. Got you to leave your game plan and play my game. And in this game, the commander said, hey, guess what? We like to go for it too.
Yeah.
We like to do this stuff. The stuff that you do to piss off everybody else, we like to do that. Let's see how you like it. And the Lions couldn't handle that.
Yeah.
Especially like late in the game, it's just like it's fourth and two. Either you know the play that you're going to do, you have the personnel out there, or you call a timeout, but you don't go into a vapor lock and say, and then nothing.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I just thought they got away from their identity a little bit. You know, like the beginning of that game was 1,000% predictable, right? Like David Montgomery's back. What are we going to do? Hey, we're going to give him the first couple carries.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Where you're looking at that and you're like, you've got what has been the best running back over the past three games in Jahmyr Gibbs, right? And I think we even talked about it last Friday. If there's 30 carries, I want Jahmyr Gibbs getting 25 of those. Like, he has proven to you he is a superstar.
Yeah,
so when you come out and it's
series.
Like, yeah, you go for a 1 yard and then you go for like -5, it was like, oh, like that's not the way you want to start and get the building behind you and get Ford Field rocking. But it was very predictable, right? Like, that's just how it felt to me. The third and one. Right, like it's easy in hindsight to look at it and be like,
just get the first
down. Why don't we just get the first down and then we can get cute, right? We're in the red zone. Maybe then we could try something and get a one-on-one with Amon-Ra, Bobby Wagner, right? Based off our personnel that Ben has been so good at mixing up. Even the JMO thing, and I heard I heard the midday show talking about, oh, well, nobody had a problem with the trick plays all year. I didn't have a problem with Ben designing trick plays, but there's a time and place, right? Like late in the game, we're down 10. Do I want the ball in my number two receiver's hand making a pass, or do I want it in my $50 million quarterback's hands making a big time throw? Right? Like it was kind of time and place when it came to some of those. It's hard to just put your finger on and say, man, this was one thing. I still go back and I watch that game. It kind of reminded me of the second half against San Fran. Like whatever could go wrong at big moments went wrong, right? And that's the most frustrating part, because you feel like you can't put a finger on it. You feel like it's not just one guy that's like, man, if he would have played better, everybody kind of took their turn, right? Yeah. A guy tripping, guy falling down, guy getting beat on a three-step drop, guy, you know, underthrowing, you know, Jameson Williams right there before halftime, where you got one-on-one, where it's like, man, that is a momentum changer going into halftime, right? Third and one. Hey, we got a chance down in the red zone. Hey, at worst, we're kicking a field goal, go up 10-3. Oh, no. Now we just, no, they go down, put up 7 on the board. We took 3 off. Oh, that's a 10-point swing. Whoa. Like, it was just so many little things that just popped up that just ultimately played a massive part in the big picture.
We'll keep it timely. I want to ask you about this weekend's games. And again, I don't even know if you're going to watch. You may be emotionally broken. You've had a rough week.
No, I'm going to watch.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to watch. There's only 3 games left this year, man.
All right, listen, I'm just telling you, a lot of fans have opted out. They can't bear to do it. I'm not mad if you told me, Mike, I can't do it.
I felt that way last year, about the Super Bowl. Because you were so close. It was right there.
Right. But we'll talk a little bit about this weekend, and I do have a critical question for you. And then we'll do the picks. We got who said it. We got lots to do. 97.1. All right, we get to the picks in about, I don't know, 8-9 minutes. But TJ, I know we've spent all week talking lines. It's brutal. But
yeah,
who do you like this week? I mean, who's going to be in the Super Bowl? I guess it's the easiest way to just ask you about the games. And I know Mahomes and Allen is the headliner.
Yeah.
But who's the Super Bowl man?
I think Philly wins comfortably.
Me too.
I do. I think there's part of them that is just going to come out on fire, knowing that
they may run it 50 times.
Instead of going to Detroit for the NFC Championship, oh, man, we get this at home. Yeah. And it's against a team we played twice. Like, you know, they don't have the shock factor of playing labeled rookie quarterback, like, because they've seen Jaden Daniels twice now, right? But I think Philly comes out on fire. I do. I think they win comfortably. What's that line, 6.5?
Yep,
kind of going into it, I felt like a 10-point win, 27-17 type game. Right. And then, man,
the other game's brutal.
Maybe this is more want in me wishing it into
existence.
I want the Bills to win.
I think America wants
the Bills. And I think they got a good chance to win, too. There's part of me that looks at Josh Allen this year and having to play more on time rather than just and he still does it sometimes, don't get me wrong, but, more timing-based offense and getting the ball out to your guys. Like, I don't have a Steph Diggs that I can just run around for 10 seconds and hope he gets open. Players like he's playing on time, and it's shown. Like, he's not turning the ball over nearly what he used to. I think Buffalo's got a legit chance. I do. I think their offensive line can hold up against KC's front. And
Dawkins and Brown have been really, really good.
They have been really good.
Really
their good. Interior guys have been good, too. I mean, Torrance, the kid.
Cyrus
Torrance. Yeah, the guard, man. He's got some stuff to him. I think he can battle for
Shields. How do
you
beat the officials?
Well, that's...
No, I'm being serious as a player. Like, what people don't get is these guys are out here sacrificing their body.
Yeah.
And it's very hard in 2024-25 to get a stop. Right? A real I'm going to stop you 3 times. And then you get some BS. I mean, total BS.
Right? Mm-hmm.
That not only hurts you by, I don't get off the field, I'm giving 15 yards of possession to Michael Jordan. And it happened twice to Houston last week.
Yeah.
And it's happened repeatedly. Like, on the field, there's got to be some stuff in your career that still bugs you. But, like, how the hell do you – how do you emotionally work past that? Like, I would struggle. I admit that. Like, I would
– I got to think that you just go in the game and you tell your players, they're going to get every call. Don't expect anything. Don't get angry. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Because the second you start complaining – that's it. That play has now beat you twice.
Well, you try to take it out of the ref's hands, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you try to take it out of their hand. Hey, let's go do our thing and don't let them affect the game.
Because, I don't know if they would do this.
Seems...
Even in practice, when you bring the officials in, I would tell the officials, give us all bad calls.
Yeah, well, I'm glad more people are talking about it because maybe that will put an emphasis on the officiating to not give – Like when Patrick Mahomes is running to the sideline and purposefully slows up so he can take a little tap to the back and go flying 10 yards into the sideline.
Or you stop like, running and he takes off going 20 more yards.
Seen him do that too, right? Oh, I'm going out of bounds. Psych. See ya. You know, I'm with you though. I think that's the only way you have to approach it is don't put the refs in the position to make one of those calls, right? And
but you got to hit him. You have to hit him. It's what Rico just said. Look at when he was a runner and he slides late. Yeah. They didn't even contact him. The two Texans hit each other. I mean, come on.
That was ridiculous. The one on Will Anderson, you can kind of see from the back view. You could kind of see what the ref was seeing. But, I mean, let's call it what it is. Patrick Mahomes is a flopper. He is.
I know.
Anytime he gets hit, you see his head just immediately jolt back. You do. And I think, you know, we used to talk about this because when I first started playing, you used to have a referee behind the defensive line. And they could see those calls. And they could come up and say, no. Like, he sold it, right? He's just yanking his head back. He didn't. Now you have both officials behind the quarterback. So anytime either an offensive lineman or a quarterback jolts his head back, doesn't matter if you get hit in the stomach, all they see is that motion, right? And part of me wants to give Mahomes credit for kind of mastering that, but part of me also thinks it's just chicken, you know. Like, it's a terrible way to play the game. Yeah. That's how I look at it. That's all of us look at it.
Steph Curry kicks out his leg every time he shoots the ball.
Yeah.
To get the foul.
It is. Yeah. And it's – last week was disgusting.
All I ask is just look.
But see, I think because of that, I think the refs know we cannot do anything that makes it look like we help this man out.
You know what? I mean, that's – I say this every season, like – if there's a problem or a roughing the quarterback, or if they're going to put an emphasis on something, then you got to make it reviewable. But with how much help that the referees are already getting in the game, right? How many times do we see, hey, they'll mark it first and 10, and then after 6 seconds, hey, never mind, somebody called down and said it's third and short. Why can't you do that on roughing the passers? Why can't you do that on some of those game-changing calls that you have? Why can't somebody go up there and say, hey, I could see what you saw, but no, from this angle, he did not hit him in the head.
Yeah.
Pick the foul up. It's not taking a minute, two minutes to review it. Somebody upstairs, though, can call down and say, hey, no, this different angle showed nobody hit him in the head, right? Do not, we cannot call this. Pick it up, wave it off, no flag on the play, boom, keep it moving. I don't know why that's not a possibility.
I think for some of it, I think that they will change it. It was like the face mask and against when the Commanders got the face mask, and it was like, actually, it wasn't a face mask, but you saw it live just like that. Just, you know what, guys, no, it's actually fourth down on the Lions, make them punt,
or
whatever.
And you don't want it happening every play, but if it's one like that 15-yard penalty on a third down, it's going to sustain it, right, in a playoff game where points are we're going to let them continue the drive? No. You have to implement a system for somebody to call down and just be like, guys, I saw what you saw, but we saw five angles of it. You cannot call that penalty. You can't do it.
Right.
I don't think it would be that difficult to implement. Now, do I want it on every single penalty?
No.
Like, no, I think the referees, you don't want to turn them into robots, but on some big calls.
You're not going to do it on holding. You're not going to do it.
But if it's something egregious and it takes 2 seconds and you can clearly see, you don't have to do the review. It's just we're going to move it here. It's actually third and two.
Yeah.
Very simple.
And I don't want a flag fest either, you know, just throwing flags and then, hey, we'll just, I think I saw it, but let's let upstairs, you know, confirm if I was right or wrong.
Can they just let him play?
Like, I don't want that either. Yeah.
Can they just let him play in Kansas City? I wouldn't care if they throw a single flag all game.
I think they will, because I think there's been enough talk about it nationally this week, really the last couple weeks.
He's going to win again.
Mahomes and
he's going to win again. You know what's going to happen.
See, I don't think so.
You know what? As long as it's a game where, like we saw a couple years ago with these two teams.
Oh, 13 seconds.
The 13 seconds. If it's one of those games.
Yeah, that was great.
No, but I'd rather have him win that way than to win by,
I know.
Oh man, he had three BS calls and, you know, they had 14 points because they were in third and long and, you know, they got a rough in the passer.
Rico hates when I say this, because Rico loves conspiracies, but I've offered one this week. I'm actually convinced Taylor Swift runs the league. I think she's Roger Goodell's boss. and there's a button. Like, you know how there's the Diet Coke button in the Oval Office? Yeah. She has a button. And like Cleet Blakeman this week, when she hits the button, a flag goes flying out of his ass.
This is not even a stray. This is, I have no idea. Like, you are one of the smartest sports people I know, and for that to come out of your mouth.
I know. I'm broken.
I'm broken. I am sitting here thinking, this is the dumbest thing you have ever said, yep. ever.
Taylor Swift and Pat Mahomes have forced me to that realm. Because I can't watch any more of this officiating.
There's no other explanation.
Mike, here's the beauty, and you've seen the other side of this. Nobody wins three. That means there's going to be some play in the Super Bowl that we're going to be like, whether it's the ball stuck to the helmet, something's going to happen.
I hope so.
And you're going to be like, I can't believe.
But then.
Jaden Daniels and the Commanders won the Super Bowl.
She's going to hit a button on her friendship bracelet. And boom.
Oh,
flag. Okay. And you're like, where did that come from?
I know. You've done all the math. I think that's the only plausible explanation left.
Because you see it all year.
It's hard to argue.
You see the Bengals get screwed against the Chiefs. You saw the Texans twice. Remember the regular season version? They got screwed three times. Then it was two in the playoff game. I got nothing else.
You know what? You're better than this.
I know. I am. I feel like there's a button.
You better get yourself to that wedding.
You lock it up. All right. So, yeah, I'm totally broken. He's going to win again. But do I want the Bills to win? Of course I do.
I think the Bills do win. I do.
After Mahomes just had a baby? Yeah, there's no way Taylor will allow it.
I don't know. I think it's a sign. Right. It's snowing down in New Orleans. It's a sign for the Bills.
It's a disgrace.
We got a trip down there in a couple
Let's weeks. Get to the picks. We'll do them next. All right. This is a very, very unique and special edition of the picks. And TJ was demanding we put Michigan State and Rutgers at Madison Square Garden on here. So let's hit the music, David. Now, listen, this is a four-sport delight because we had to make sure we got to 8 to 10 picks. So we're not shortchanging you, but we do start out. Now, this is the RICO section right here. Friday night, tonight, number 21, Michigan, travels to Mackey Arena to take on number 11, Purdue. Purdue laying 3.5. We start with RICO Beard.
Mike, I'm going to go with the Purdue Boilermakers.
Microphone.
Look at TJ. There we go. Be curious. Look at you.
Go ahead, buddy. With the Purdue Boilermakers at Mackey. Look for Lawyer to have a big game against Michigan. Yeah, give me the Boilermakers.
Over to Kenneth Cott. Now, will you even watch this?
I, of course, am a college basketball elite. I know every school mascot just like you, Mike.
You know what channel it's on?
Peacock.
No, there you go.
Hey, see, I got one.
He was being flippant, but he didn't realize he got it right.
Purdue, 3.5.
Over to David.
So all of Michigan losses have been by 2, 2, 1, and 3. So I have to go Michigan here. They either lose by 3 or they win.
Oh, you know, that's a pretty good strategy, David.
Yeah, I like what David said. I'd be lying to you if I said I could name one player on Michigan's roster.
Well, fun fact, their point guard is named after a famous ex-president. It's not Barack Obama. It's George Washington.
Oh, no kidding.
Bottom line,
can't bet against him then.
RICO tells me Michigan turns it over a ton. At Mackey, that's a house of horrors. Give me the Boilermakers and Zach Edey in his 30th year. I'm kidding. I know he's on the Grizzlies or whatever. All right. Michigan State, number 25, or laying 2.5. They are traveling to the Mecca, the world's most famous arena. They are taking on Rutgers, laying 2.5. RICO Beard, you'll be at this game.
I will not be at this game, but this is a game where Rutgers has a ton of talent, but in the end, they never can put it together and win games. Michigan State is absolutely horrible in Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the 2.5 is enough with the Rutgers normally collapse. Give me the Spartans.
Barely. Kenneth G. Cott.
Another game I will absolutely be watching on, I'm going to guess, Paramount Plus. I have no idea.
Is this FS1?
Yes.
I'm going to go with Rutgers.
No, correction. Michigan is on Fox. Michigan State is on CBS.
All right, major network coverage. Right.
I am going Rutgers here in Madison Square Garden. They will get it done against the Spartans.
How do you bet against a team whose best player is named Ace Bailey? Go ahead.
If Rutgers can't win, RICO, why are they only 2.5-point dogs? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Because State's horrible at Madison Square Garden.
Okay, well, and Rutgers, you know what? Sold. Give me the Scarlet Knights.
I'm just going to take Rutgers. They have two NBA players, and MSU can't shoot threes. And I'm with Rico. It's PTSD. I can't remember the last time State played well at MSU.
Yeah.
It's not the greatest handicap in the world, but that's what I'm offering you. Take them to the Palisades, Rutgers. All right, now we go to the NBA. Your Detroit Pistons. TJ, so excited they're over 500. He's bought season tickets.
Oh, they are?
Pistons catching 3.5. They travel to Orlando, Mr. Rico.
I think you're going to have Cade trying to make his pitch to say, I deserve to be on the All-Star team. Give me the Pistons and the points in this game.
Now, Kenny will absolutely be dialed into this.
Actually, no, I will be watching this one. I told David after if the Pistons hit 500, I'd be watching Pistons games. So here we are.
Kenny, there's a great pick five sequence at Gulfstream Saturday. Pegasus Day. Lock in.
Okay.
We got some ponies to bet on Saturday.
That too. Give me the Pistons.
We go over to David.
They've only won one game against the Orlando Magic. Don't play well, but I got to go with Cade here. Let's go Pistons.
Sure, I'll jump on board.
Wow. Yeah. Nuanced. Hey,
I mean, you throw basketball in here, you know what you're getting from me. Mike.
I know. Is anyone alive for the Magic? At last check, all their players had died.
Wagner will return soon.
Okay. Pistons. Honestly, Pistons are playing good basketball, and a lot of these teams in the East are just ass. All right. Tampa Bay Lightning, they travel to Detroit, take on Kenny's blessed wings. You just got to pick a winner, people. But y'all,
I'm going to go with the Lightning to win. I'm going under.
All right. Rico's a big Vinnie LeCavalier fan. We go over to Kenny.
Yeah, Nikolai Hobby-Bullen. Mike, hit that Rico sound effect because that's how I'm going to be. After the Wings win and hit it over, they pumped a bunch of shots on goal last game. They're going to do the same thing here.
Shout out Roman Hammerlick. We go over to David.
Does St. Louis still play for this team in Tampa Bay? Oh, my Martin? Gosh. I am going Tampa Bay here, and I'm going under.
Good pull. Martin St. Louis.
Got Dave it. Vanderchuk. Let's go.
Exactly. Bring it back.
You know, screw it. I'll go with the Red Wings, too. Big win over Montreal. What was that, last night, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, they got some momentum.
Lord Mountbatten was
in
the net.
Over, too.
You're going the over?
Yeah.
I'll take Lightning and under. All right. Let's go to the real stuff where TJ will actually speak.
Finally.
All right, Commanders-Eagles. Eagles are laying 6.5, and you have the total, 47.5. Mr. Rico.
I'm going to go with the Commanders. I think they're going to keep riding high. I think that they may even win this game and give me the over. I don't see any punts in this game, very few. It's going to be a lot of scoring opportunities. And the weather is a little more conducive than it was last week. Give me the Commanders. Give me the over.
Kenneth,
out of pure spite, we pick against the Commanders. Eagles lay the 6.5. Give me the over.
David.
I believe that this is going to be the upset of the weekend. The Commanders are going to win this game, which means it has to go over.
Oh, my. TJ?
I'm taking Philly. I think they cover that spread easy. They've already faced Jaden Daniels twice. They're not going to be shocked by the whole, rookie quarterback coming in. They know what he's made of. And Washington's not going to be able to run the ball on Philly like they did last week against Detroit. I'm taking Philly to cover, and I think I'm going to take the under. I think it's going to be a 27-17 type game.
I just think Philly's going to operate like Army football, 50, 52 rushes. And Saquon at this point, I'm pretty sure he wants to end John Mara's life. So figure Saquon for about 2.25. It's a nightmare. I think Philly beats him up pretty good. I'm going to go under with you, though. I question whether Washington can really score in this game.
Yeah, it's going to be a time of possession game. Long, drawn out drives. That's the way I see it playing
out. I'll go Eagles and under. Bills, Chiefs, this is the one. The latest line we have, Chiefs laying 1.5. And then your total, 48.5. Rico, what do you want to do?
You know what? I know a lot of people are really hoping and praying that it's not going to be the Chiefs. I'm just going to embrace it and say it will be the Chiefs. They're the better team. And I'm also going to go over as well.
Okay. Are we a little shootout, Kenny?
I'm going to say it's going to be the Bills because I don't want Taylor Swift to be running my football league. And it's going to go over because Josh Allen's going to say.
You're right, Rico. It's a lot of hope in my pick here. I am hoping that it's the Bills, but I know what it's going to be. I'm going to go under.
TJ with a nuanced breakdown. Yeah, what do you have for everybody?
I'm going to take the over to start. I think it's going to be a point fest, passing attack left and right for both teams. And I think the difference is going to be the takeaways. I think Buffalo is able to get one or two off Mahomes. They were the number one team all season long, Buffalo, at turnover differential. Sorry, I think they get one this week. I think it's going to be a big one, too. And I'm taking, like I said, maybe manifesting this destiny, but I'm taking Buffalo in the upset.
I want Buffalo, but I'm not allowed to be happy watching football. So it's going to be Kansas City. Taylor Swift will punch the easy button on her friendship bracelet. There will be a critical penalty to ruin my life. And I'm going to go under. Last one, boys. Who's winning the Pegasus Cup Saturday at Gulfstream Park for $6 million?
A horse.
Yeah.
Some horse named Pegasus.
The gray horse.
Gray horse.
Give me the horse with four legs.
Jesus. The one with the funniest name is my guess.
And, yeah.
Never bet against a gray horse. Mike taught me that.
Genetically faster. Yeah. Okay, good talk.
How many races are at the point?
We're done. I'm not even doing this. That was a bad idea to just screw around with you. I'm not doing it. It'll end up in some form of horses wearing sunglasses joke by Kenny. Not doing it.
Naybands, come on, man.
Those are the picks.
Always take the horse with the Nike hoofs.
There we go. Okay, then. Those are the picks. 97.1.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.